us can storm a beach or drive a tank, but there's still a way all of us can fight.
Who vows to fight like a man for what's right?
All right, so this is Brian.
Johnny. Daryl.
All right, you guys don't know Daryl, but he's our awesome friend. We've referred to him before. He's Black Daryl. Anyway, we just got out of Civil War. Yeah, I always refer to you as that. So I've tried to get Daryl to change his Facebook to Black Daryl Jasper. Anyway, we just got out of Civil War. Daryl, first thoughts?
Loved it. Before this, Winter Soldier was my favorite Marvel movie, closely followed by Guardians of the Galaxy. Civil War is taking that spot, top spot right now.
Nice. J. Johnny Johnson?
I don't have like a favorite, but this is one of the favorites.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I like the political conspiracy movies, so this one worked right with it.
And I'll tell you one thing. The Russos, they know what they're doing. Infinity War, I know it's a couple years from now, but you know, Marvel is in good hands with those guys.
So Tom Holland as Spider-Man, first off, nailed it. I told you, there was never a moment where I didn't see Peter Parker. I've never really been able to say that before on any of the Spider-Man stuff.
Definitely, and even Marissa Tomei as Aunt May.
Yeah, which, you know, that was a question mark. Like, honestly, because she's so young, but, like, that was really cool. And then
the interaction between him and Robert Downey Jr. was pretty awesome.
Yep.
The interaction between him and Chris Evans was really awesome.
Yeah.
The best Spider-Man, Peter Parker, that's been on screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther was amazing. And
glad that I was already sold on it, so it paid off.
Yeah, I was sold on it, but he looked awesome throughout the entire movie. Getting like the close-ups of the costume and the fact that he kept a mask on almost the entire time was great. And then just the story. Like, as much as we harped on Batman v Superman for not having a story, this was a cohesive story from start to finish.
Yep. And back to the chat with Boseman, he carried a regality about him that befits someone that's a king.
Oh, yeah. Definitely was, you know, I want to see the Black Panther movie now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, let's skip Doctor Strange and go
Spider-Man
right to the
Spider-Man movie, too. Oh, dude, I want to see the Black Panther movie more.
Spidey looked awesome.
Yeah.
The whole interaction with him and Tony was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so just because we'll just do this real quick. So total impression of the movie, and then give it a grade.
What do you want?
A, B, C, or D.
Five shields.
Okay, yeah, we'll do one through five shields. Okay, Daryl, go.
I got it. Five shields. You know, Cap's my favorite comic book character anyway, and you know this movie did him justice.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with five shields.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you with
this.
Five.
I mean, the thing is like, now when this comes out, you'll be able to watch Winter Soldier in this, and literally it's going to be one cohesive movie. Like, it's going to be one epic movie.
Yeah, I mean, it picked up in the final cut scene of Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
Like, we got that, got the context around it, which made it cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, all right, so this is just kind of our quick one-shot. Johnny and I will be back in a few minutes to talk about our overall thoughts with a spoilery, non-spoilery type review. We don't want to ruin things for people who can't get out to see this.
We have to talk about the fight. At least talk about the airport fight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If anything, that's the one major thing that we will talk about.
One of the
about.
Best action pieces I've ever seen in any movie. Not just comic book movies, but any movie.
Yeah.
And I'll say my unabashed man love for Paul Rudd is, like, firmly intact.
Okay.
You know, because he was awesome.
Yeah. He was really good.
So, all right. Thank you. Hey, Daryl, thanks for popping on here for us. And we will talk to you guys soon. All right, so this is Brian and Johnny back, pre-recorded, not really live necessarily, but hey, so Johnny,
we're live in your ears.
This is the post.
Yeah,
like, this is 2 days removed.
Well, they just heard
our snapshot,
3-minute review.
Yeah, so and with Daryl, and I'm glad Daryl was able to do that with us. But yeah, okay, so you've had a couple days to sit and think about it.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same? Are you more excited about it?
I
are you
less went excited and about seen it? It again last night.
I did too.
Yeah.
So I'm going
to
see it at
I
least.
I had to work last night.
Well,
but when I got off of work, I debated on going directly to the theater and seeing it again.
I'm going
to
see it at least one more time this weekend.
Okay.
At least. Yeah. So,
and I'll see it when I'm on vacation in a week and a half. So I'll see it again.
Nice.
Then.
So,
which will probably make it more enjoyable, I think, because I'll have a week where I won't be really thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was, oh man, it was. So one of the things that really stood out to me, and it had nothing to do with the story, and it had nothing to do with the superheroes. It was just
Are we spoiling?
No, this is. We'll do minor.
A little spoiler.
We're not going to. There's some things that I don't think we should spoil because it'll ruin.
We'll just tag it at the beginning. We're tagging it at the beginning right now. Yeah. We might spoil some stuff. So if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Listen to the movie.
You know what? I'm guessing if they haven't seen the movie, they're not going to listen to this until after. So we have probably some leeway. But the look of the film. Just the filmmaking aesthetic.
The Russo brothers know how to shoot a movie.
Dude, and one of my favorite things about it, and it felt very much like the Rushmore movies and Royal Tenenbaums, is when they would go to a different city, and that I got to figure out what font that was.
Oh, the big font.
Just the, you know, Lagos.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you know, it was so cool, and it just kind of
they didn't
added,
go to Cleveland.
They did go to Cleveland.
Did they?
Yeah, that's where the Nazi guy was.
Oh yeah, okay.
So but for me, it just kind of added this. I don't know.
Amazing how Georgia can look like the whole world.
The whole world, but it added. First off, it added like a scope of time to it.
Well, yeah.
And that was one of my big complaints about The Dark Knight, is we didn't know exactly, was it a month, was it a
year? Oh, yeah,
year?
Yeah, because...
You know, this was essentially
it
4 days.
It spanned seasons, but you didn't know how far along it was. Yeah.
I mean, I would say 4 days. I would say probably the span of the beginning of Civil War to the end is probably a span of 2 weeks.
Maybe not
maybe
even
less.
That.
Maybe
less.
Yeah. Maybe a few days, to be honest. Because, I mean, Tony...
Well, I mean, the whole thing with...
Tony gets the ultimatum, you have 36 hours at one point. So, and up until
well,
that
the whole
point,
hunt
I think
for Winter Soldier was like 4 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally like hours, not days.
But, so it's just that. That was one. That was the thing that stood out to me most as far as just kind of aesthetic and like getting into this
because
world.
Because, I mean, obviously the Russo brothers did Winter Soldier, but Winter Soldier took place in Washington, D.C. Oh, you knew you weren't really anywhere else.
They went to Jersey for like a minute.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, they acknowledged that they were at the place that was from the first Captain America movie.
So, I just thought they did a really good job.
World spanning.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all over the place.
So, I mean, I'm sure you guys are hearing the excitement in our voices.
Yeah.
And you heard the quick shot. Like, we really thoroughly enjoyed this.
I mean, I made a comment on Joe Caroni.
Yeah.
That said that he seen it yesterday with his daughter. They enjoyed it. And I said, you know, when this comes out, and I told you the same thing, when it comes out on Blu-ray, and you could watch Winter Soldier and this as one big movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said it in the quick review, so...
Yeah, I think my comment was that it's the Lawrence of Arabia of our time.
Oh, okay.
If you watch both of them together, because Lawrence of Arabia is a long movie.
Yes, it is.
But it's well worth watching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
So, and this one, I mean, man, it was like, you know, it was almost 3 hours.
Yes. So, like,
but
and their
didn't
movies
feel like
it didn't. And their movies have gotten, like, the Cap movies have gotten progressively longer.
Yeah.
Like, the first one was like maybe 120 minutes.
Right.
The second one was like 140, and this was like 160.
Right.
So, yeah, it was so like, and as like kind of comparing it to BVS, right? Because it's two superhero Batman movies.
Yeah. The third of the superhero movies come out this year.
Yeah. Well, true. But at no point during this one was I bored.
No.
And no point did it feel like. Like I looked at my watch a couple times, but mainly because I got because I have a smartwatch and I got notifications.
Sure.
But at no point did I look at my watch and be like, "Oh, when are they going to get to something?" You know,
like there's always something happening in this movie.
Even
at the quietest moments in this movie, because there are a lot of talking parts of this movie.
Oh yeah,
there's still something going on.
It
because
was all
the
built.
Conversations are you know major turning points in the story.
Yeah. So it was build, which was great, but it wasn't just build. It was build moment, And I don't know if you saw Kevin Feige came out and said, "Okay, we're going to explore doing a Black Widow franchise."
Okay.
It's because of this movie.
Well,
and she's been great.
At this point, there's like, you know, enough story backstory mm-hmm. because, you know, she says something to Winter Soldier in this where you're like,
oh, yeah.
That's kind of where the comic book comes from. Because yep. in the comic book, they knew each other they before.
Did. But she, like, she's kind of the connective tissue.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they can pretend like it's Iron Man, but she is the. You know, connective
tissue.
She's
been there since Iron Man 2 yeah. and been interweaved
in
everything.
She was in Winter Soldier.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think the only Marvel movies that she hasn't been in are the Thor movies.
And,
well, Incredible Hulk, but she wasn't even introduced at that point.
I will say this. This was my favorite performance of her by far.
Yeah.
I love watching a character like that feel conflicted.
Yeah.
And not to really spoil anything... the kind of the showdown that she has with Black Panther.
Yeah.
After kind of the bonding that they had was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was like, you could see every time she, you know, slowed him down, it kind of broke her heart a little
right.
bit. Because she agrees. And like, so we can get kind of into like
She became the spider, like talking Civil War, yeah. talking the comic book comparison to the movie. She became the Spider-Man
yeah.
of this movie. Spider-Man was not, and Spider-Man was awesome.
Yeah, we'll get to Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was not the conflicted character in this, like Peter Parker was in the comic book.
Well, and it was also
it was her.
Because it's a different stage of Spider-Man.
Well, right.
Like,
yeah.
He's a new character.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Well,
you know,
and the thing
he
is,
he didn't have a family.
She worked with Cap.
Yeah,
like she when they
They're
were
partners.
Part of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah.
they were running missions together,
yeah.
and it's like she has an emotional attachment to Cap
she
now
does.
That she does not have to Tony Stark.
No,
she doesn't like Tony.
Nobody likes Tony.
Yeah,
so
because he's caused every problem that's happened in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, so like you know the whole Sokovia Accord thing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the whole thing with New York and the Chitauri, the government fired a nuke at
yeah.
New York. The whole thing in Washington, D.C., shadow government agency. You know,
Hydra.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Hydra, but like S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, whatever you
right.
want to call it, you know, with all of that nonsense. And then.
The whole meme thing where they pointed
yeah,
out that he helped build the new
yeah.
helicarriers.
Yeah, that Tony built. And then you have Age of Ultron where it's Tony's evil, like. You know,
evil twin,
his
pretty
id
much.
Essentially
yeah.
gone wild, but yeah. So,
well, and the thing that like we talked about on the Civil War episode,
yeah,
with the spit in the face,
right,
it happens in here, but no spitting in the face.
And I argue that
more
Alfred
emotional
Woodard's
when a photo is shoved in your chest.
It was more powerful,
yeah,
than some spitting in the
yeah,
face.
Because it's like she literally shoves the photo into his chest and says, "This is my son,"
yeah,
and it's
oh,
like
yeah.
okay, that's a little bit more. Yeah, emotionally powerful.
Now, she's supposed to be...
In Black Panther.
No, in Luke Cage.
No, Luke Cage, yeah, sorry.
So I wonder if she's going to be the same character.
I don't know.
Because she works for the State Department.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
maybe.
She said that. Okay, so the movie opens with a really cool just action piece.
Yeah.
With they're hunting down Crossbones.
Yeah, Brock Rumlow from Winter Soldier.
Right, so played again wonderfully by Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tries to, you know, they get him on the ropes and he tries to kill himself. And
right.
then, you know, I thought Wanda handled it well.
But she's still learning how to use her
powers. She's still learning
powers.
How to use her powers. But,
right.
like, in reality, she probably saved more people, even
yeah.
though some people died. Like, she saved more people
well,
than
people
would
People at
have.
Work were asking me, like, why are they fighting each other?
Right.
And I said, the whole point of it is... That in war, and the Avengers are pretty much fighting a war,
mm-hmm.
in war, innocent people do get killed.
It's, you know, collateral damage.
But the United Nations being, you know, wanting to get their fingers in everything.
Right.
Are, you know, saying, you can't do this. You have to have permission from us to do it. They're
yeah.
pretty much turning them into a NATO, like, military force.
Because the big argument was, you ignore borders.
Right.
You don't... fall under any jurisdiction, yet you're all Americans,
right? Yeah,
or you know, for the most part,
right?
You know, and so that's the whole point of the Accords is no longer will they have the choice to go in and just stop what they think is wrong,
right?
They'll have to get permission from the
and
UN.
That's where Cap did not
and
agree
Cap
with
is like,
it
no,
at all.
Like I'm not going to follow, and this is why I mean, and this harkens back to First Avenger.
Yeah.
Because he was told, do not go save those men.
Right. And he went and
that
and
was the wrong
anyways.
Choice, and he went and did it anyway. He was, you know, he made the hard choice to get on that plane and fight Red Skull. You know, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
Like, New York could have been collateral damage, and it wouldn't have been a big deal. But he made the right hard choice. Tony makes the easy choices. You know? The whole thing with... you know, with Ultron as an example, but like even like in Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3, you know, destroying his suits like that. I mean, he's childish. He's a child.
Well, right. Yeah. He's never had like, you know, and it was one of those things where if you look at the two of them, how they were raised, and there's the flashback at the beginning with his parents, Steve's mom and dad were dead by the time he was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Tony kind of had the same thing, but Steve was living in a ratty apartment in Brooklyn, you know, in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony grew up in a mansion away from people, away from, you know, not seeing the world.
He's able to do whatever it is he wanted.
Tony's seen the world, but he's seen the world through his little orange glasses that he wears all the time. And Steve's seen the world from down in the sewers. Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, he's at the ground level. Right. I mean, and it's why he was.
And being sick and being.
Yeah, that's why he was Peggy's choice.
Right.
Because he's humbled. He's grounded. But at the same time.
Well, yeah. The doctor picked him because of that. Yeah.
But, the doctor too. Sorry. Yeah. But at the same time, he's the one who's going to stand. He's going to stand up and fight.
Yeah.
And he's going to get knocked down and he's going to get back up. And I loved that mirror image. From the bully in the alley to the bully in the super suit.
Yep.
I thought that was great. All right. So.
The line of I can do this. I can go all day.
I can go all day. Yeah. I can do this all day. Yep. So.
I liked that they've acknowledged that the entire cinematic universe, like, you know, everybody was like 8 years ago today, Iron Man came out a few weeks ago. Or the other day. And it's like they acknowledged that it has only been 8 years
since
Tony put that suit on.
Since he put the suit on. And they talk about the explosion of like powered beans and stuff like that because they've come out of the woodwork.
Right. But they've already – I mean, we know that they've been there.
Yeah.
Because if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's acknowledgement of that.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. this
week – Hulk was around before Iron Man because the way the timeline works with that movie, you can tell that.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Is going to tie in to Civil War this week.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So, let's talk. Let's do Spider-Man, Black Panther, and then do the airport scene, and then the last scene, and kind of like because you know, I mean, we got to get to where we got to get.
And we don't want a super long review either.
No.
So
Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. They got it right. I mean,
I hadn't seen anything. I hadn't seen the stuff that Tom Holland was in. I haven't watched the
Heart of
the
Sea yet. Yeah, you were on like Blackout.
But I knew they cast him and I saw the pictures and the gif of him with
the shield.
Grabbing the shield.
Well, and I mean, everything like up until that point, there was nothing with Marissa Tomei being in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was in the movie. I knew she was in Homecoming.
I knew she was May, and that, you know, she had been cast as May already, but there was no mention of that. The whole thing at the airport when they're all lined up, like you've seen in all the previews and that, they had taken Spider-Man out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Because he's in the lineup.
He's very much.
Yeah, but like, the only scene where they had shown him up until this point was, hey, Underoos, and he comes out and grabs the shield.
And I'm
shield.
So happy they did that.
Yeah.
So, first off, he was great as Peter.
Yeah.
He was that quiet, genius kid who just got his powers because he's only been Spider-Man for about 6 months.
Yeah.
He went to go into his origin story, and Tony interrupted him. And I think that's Marvel saying, this is it for origin stories.
Yeah, like, Strange we know, is the last how, one that we know doing. How you got bit. So, I don't even think Strange is doing a real origin story.
I think it's flashbacks.
It's flashbacks, yeah.
And then their banter was great.
Yeah.
And like you said in our quickie review, what was awesome was Peter trying to get around the fact of saying, I have powers, this is how they work, and more feeling out like, how do you know I have powers?
Yeah.
What do you want from me? And, you know, how is this going to affect my aunt?
Right.
And those were like the three things that it's like, okay, this is Peter Parker. And then when he was Spider-Man, I mean, his power.
It's still Peter Parker in a Spider-Man costume.
The banter was perfect. The whole thing with him and Falcon when he's like, you know, usually there's not this much talk in a fight was great. His powers, like, he was strong like Spider-Man.
Right.
He was, you know, the whole, like, the little Star Wars reference and things like that. It was funny.
Well, just another acknowledgement of this takes place today.
Yeah.
It's like, this is today, and everything that's happened in our history has happened. Mm-hmm. You know, so the whole Empire Strikes Back thing was like, hey, you remember that old movie Empire Strikes Back? And everybody was like, oh, God.
But watching him fight.
Yeah.
He's a genius. And it's very much the Spider-Man that you get from the comic.
Well, right. There's a point during, you know, and you can't talk about him without talking about the airport fight. There's a point where there's something falling on him. And it's the old cover where he's holding up like a building.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like a tanker. Or
It was like the whole part of the airport pretty much.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And
his interaction with Cap was cool. Cap knew that he was from New York and, like, you know.
You're from Queens?
Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah, he's like literally awesome. Like, where you from, kid? And he says Queens, he goes Brooklyn. And they just,
had that moment.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, honestly, I thought Spidey was going to, like, kind of, like, start to think. And, you know, never was he like Tony's lapdog.
Right.
You know, which I think was really
important.
It was
more just Tony influenced him because he has such respect for Tony as a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he literally like falls over himself when he sees Tony sitting in his apartment. It's like, what? Right. And it's like any kid who would be that, you know.
And I did like how Tony was like, your aunt's cute. And he's like, don't go there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't. So, yeah, leave her alone.
The costume was awesome.
Yeah.
It looked great in motion. I wasn't really concerned about it, especially when I read, well, first I love the Ditko eyes.
Yeah.
But then when I read that they were doing the same thing that they'd done with Deadpool where they animated
the digital
eyes. All right. Superhero movies moving forward. If your character is supposed to have white eyes,
like
animate
Batman?
The goddamn eyes.
Like Batman.
Yeah. Like Batman. Yeah. I don't want to see their eyeballs.
Right.
DC, I don't want to see grease paint anymore because there's no way to get that crap off in like a timely fashion.
Right.
To not give away, you know, but yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so like the Green Lantern and you know, all those characters that wear masks.
I mean, Green Lantern did it with the
whited the eyes out.
Yeah, which was fine. That was the only good part of that costume.
Right.
But okay, so Spidey, we give him two thumbs up for sure.
I'm looking forward to Homecoming now.
This is what happens when the mothership gets its baby birds back.
Right.
You know, it's a true understanding of the character.
Can't wait for him to get Fantastic Four.
And X-Men.
X-Men's okay with their
universe. It's okay.
Universe.
There are things from the X-Universe that I want.
In the Marvel?
The Marvel. But yeah. Okay. All right. Black Panther. Like, I was excited for Black Panther when I saw the look. After seeing Chadwick Boseman in a few things, I was excited for that. I did not expect that character to be as amazing as it was.
Oh, yeah.
First off, the look.
Yeah.
That costume was perfect. Like, it was a helmet. He kept it on almost the entire time. It wasn't one of these things where it was, like, popping off, you know.
Right.
That was the other thing with Spider-Man. Like, his mask kind of went a little askew, but never did he fight without his
mask. Oh, yeah, when
he
gets
on.
Hit the one time, his mask totally, like, you see part of his face, and it's like, oh, okay, so this is an actual mask.
Yeah. So, that was cool, but, The power set again was right on point. The claws going in and out of the gloves was probably my favorite thing. And then his little necklace thing that he wears was part of the design of the suit.
Yeah, the talisman.
The talisman, thank you. Couldn't think of the word.
Yeah.
It just looked so cool.
Well, and it's cool when him and Cap fight for the first time, and Cap goes, your suit's made out of vibranium, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, he scratches his shield.
And leaves claw marks.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's all vibranium, so. Mm-hmm.
But, I thought he was great. I thought he showed an insight that none of the other characters in the MCU have ever had.
Well, right. Because the whole thing with him is that all what he's been doing is protecting his country.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been Black Panther the whole time. They kind of, like, give you that.
Well, and so...
And he says, this has been a legacy, my father, and...
Well, so I read that a little differently.
Yeah.
So he said, Black Panther is always a great warrior from our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that T'Chaka was necessarily a Black Panther. And again, I think it's just kind of my interpretation.
Right.
And I definitely want to, like, I'm going to pay way more attention to that scene again, because I think the wording is important there. But I get the feeling that, well, I always understood it as like the Black Panther had to die in order for it to move on to the next.
Well, yeah,
person.
It's kind of the Phantom.
So
yeah.
So maybe I just read it wrong, but because I guess T'Chaka did have the ring.
But I was gonna say, I don't think it was the, like, there's not a power.
Yeah.
Like you know, the Phantom, it's the power is passed to the next generation.
Okay.
When the first generation or the next, when that generation dies, it passes to the next.
Right.
And the Black Panther is just years of training and, mm-hmm. you know, you are the protector of the country. Well, even though there's, like, you know, all of his bodyguards, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I love the scene with his bodyguard walking up and telling Black Widow, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
And he's standing there with a smirk on his face and goes, even though I'd like to see this.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
So.
But, it's
his
cool.
mission.
I want to see his movie too. Yeah.
His mission in this was...
His is next year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mission in this was Winter Soldier.
Well, yeah.
And
it was the whole... knowing who killed your father.
It was the you know, the whole thing for blaming Bucky for the explosion.
Right.
And I'm not going to spoil that.
No. Oh, no.
Because we know that from the preview.
Yeah.
But him hunting down Bucky and then just the relentless nature of it. And then him figuring out the truth of what happened.
Right.
And... It wasn't like he turned on a dime. He sat and he thought about what his next move was.
Right.
I think that will be a welcome addition to the next Avengers movie.
Right.
Is to have that mindset, because Cap, he's a tactician. You know, Tony, he's a hothead. Thor's a god.
Well,
Banner's
and
a rage
his father,
monster,
I
you
mean,
know?
T'Chaka even says it to him. You're becoming a very good diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Avengers need, is a diplomat. Yep. Somebody who can come and say, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is the consequences.
Yes.
And that's what Black Panther will be for the Avengers.
Yes. I want to say he was probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
As much as I'm a Spidey guy and, you know.
Well, and it's one of those things where you sit there and you know, we've watched all these Marvel movies and that, and you, like, imagine interactions between characters that haven't interacted yet.
Right.
The one who's going to be able to talk to Groot will be Black Panther.
Yeah.
He will understand what Groot's saying besides Rocket. I mean, you know, I think Black Panther and Groot would be a cool combination in a movie.
That would be.
Yeah. Like, have and them I think team that up. He totally will know what he's saying.
And I would love to see the animated surprise on Groot's face.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Groot?
Yeah, exactly.
But, so I watched Deadpool again this morning.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm feeding the addiction. As much as
other movies,
I know there are. I gave Deadpool like an 8.5.
Yeah.
This was better than Deadpool.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just,
well, Deadpool's good for what it is, but it's just a comedic action movie.
It
that,
is.
You know, has one.
But it was you know, just rewatching like the Colossus scenes and that kind of stuff. Like, they nailed the characters. They nailed the universe in this one.
Yeah.
It was like, this is the first time I really felt like the comic came off the page. And I saw, I think it was on Rotten Tomatoes, one of the reviewers had posted saying that this was Marvel's apology for Age of Ultron. And it's like, you know.
Fair enough.
I can get that sentiment, but there's things in Age of Ultron that were really good.
There's that there. You said it there. There's things in Age of Ultron.
Whereas
this movie, there's nothing that where you can say, there wasn't something I didn't like.
The problem with Age of Ultron is it got too Whedoned.
Well, yeah.
You know, he melded
in. You know,
he
there's
pouted.
Somebody at work that was like, oh, Joss Whedon's not doing the next Avengers movie? I said no, because I think Marvel's done with Whedon.
He pouted, and this was the outcome.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I don't get to do exactly what I want to do, and blah, blah, blah. And,
well,
Ultron
was miscast.
Well,
it was really
that,
miscast. But
The casting in this was perfect.
Oh yeah,
The
even
dude,
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman, and so he's got a much larger role coming in this universe.
Well, yeah, because he interacts with Black Panther.
Which is important.
And it's just one of those things where it's like Martin Freeman doing an American accent was kind of interesting. Because
you didn't watch Fargo.
Yeah, I didn't watch Fargo. But see, even that accent is not what I would call a mainstream American accent.
No, so his Fargo accent's not like the deep like Fargo accent right. from the movie, but... Yeah, no, it was good. It did take me back a minute
because
I am so used to his, you know, Bilbo John Baggins Watson. Voice. But so both Watson and Sherlock are in the MCU now.
Well, right, yeah.
No, he was great. The guy that was Baron Zemo, or, well, Colonel Zemo, as the case
may
be. You
could just say Helmet Zemo. Yeah. I mean, that's his name.
So. Was great, and I loved him in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
He was great in Rush with another MCU alum.
This point, everybody's crossing over with somebody from the MCU.
So I'm looking forward to more of him.
Yeah.
And if they do a fourth Cap movie, like, I definitely want to see that mask get, like, adhered to his face.
Right.
You know, because I think that, I don't know. So there's a lot of talk that there's a villain problem. With the Marvel universe.
Villain
problem. So that they don't, they've had Loki and a bunch of just kind of nobody villains.
I disagree.
And
I really disagree.
And I'm not saying I agree. I'm just bringing it up as a talking point. I felt like Loki was a great Thor villain.
Yeah.
I thought he was okay in the first Avengers. It was just kind of a good way to bridge things.
Loki was a necessary villain in Avengers because Loki was the villain in Avengers number one in 1963, and Loki is what brought the team together. So it's like,
so it made sense.
It only made sense that he would be the villain in the first Avengers movie.
But in the Thor Dark World movie, he wasn't the villain.
No.
You know, and I thought
And I
that,
liked the villain that was in that.
I thought Malekith.
Yeah, Malekith worked great
in a good
that.
Villain. You know,
Christopher Eccleston plays really good villains.
Yeah, I mean, he just plays good everything.
Yeah.
You know, Winter Soldier was the villain. Robert Redford was the villain.
Yeah.
I thought they were good villains.
Yeah.
You know, I think the problem is again, when you compare it to DC, is DC puts a lot into their villains.
And they don't put a lot into their heroes.
And that's,
that's
part of it. And I feel like Marvel doesn't just put a lot into the heroes. They put a lot, and I'm going to use the term again, the universe.
The thing with Marvel is, and you know, it's a smart thing because DC movies do not feel like they're based in a real world situation.
No.
Marvel movies feel like they're based in a real world situation. Like, you know, you could pop the news on and there could be an alien invasion in New York City and it looks real.
I watch Marvel movies and I'm glad I live outside of a major city.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because
like,
you know,
it's like,
yeah.
Why would anyone ever live in New York?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because it's got a big Target painted on it pretty much. But the thing about it is the villains and even villains like Malekith and, you know, Loki and that, there's some reality to those characters because they have motivations beyond just I'm
crazy.
The bad guy.
Beyond
I'm crazy.
I want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. Like, you know, the motivations of villains are what get the movie going.
Yeah.
They don't all have to wear masks.
Right.
They don't have to be ha 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 and, you know, twirling their mustaches and stuff like that. They just, you know, they have to be good at what they're doing.
Right.
And by the end of this movie, you're like, holy crap, that guy was the villain the whole time and he did what he meant to do.
And you know, it was to quote Deadpool, he didn't take the shits, he just disturbs them.
Right.
You know, and it was very, very cool. And I was really happy with that character.
Yeah.
All right. So the airport scene.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil too much about this because there are a couple just really cool moments.
The airport scene is one where, you know, in the theater it was cool to see.
Yeah.
But it's one where when I watch it, when I get it at home,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pause and I'm going to watch and I'm going to see where this person is when this person is doing this, because literally it's not like, you know, you're not thinking the whole time like Hawkeye's going to fight Black Widow and Cap's going to fight Iron Man. Literally everybody's fighting everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like switching off and, you know, double teaming and stuff like that. Ant-Man has a giant scene in there, a real giant scene in that movie, and it's pretty awesome.
It was so Paul Rudd, was so great during the fight.
And you hadn't seen the scene where he meets Cap. I had seen that scene, and I'm like,
and
still chuckling as I'm watching,
shaking his head. I'm like,
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever meet Paul Rudd, like, I'm not going to intentionally do that to him, but that's totally what I'm going to do. You know, because I'm gonna be like, you're Paul
Rudd. Yeah. It's literally that thing where I've told you, like, when I was talking about that convention where Chris Evans would, I would be that. I'd be that guy. Everybody's probably that guy, but I'd be that guy. Like, it would be like, because it's Captain America. Yeah. It's not Chris Evans anymore. It's Captain America.
No, but, just that fight was great. The battles were awesome. The switching off, before they got to the airport, there was that cool Hawkeye Wanda moment.
Yeah. Which
that's all I want to say. I don't want to talk anything else about that.
Yeah. The interaction between Spider-Man and everybody was one of those things where everybody's looking at this. Who's this guy?
Yeah. Well, he was just trying to meet everybody.
Yeah.
Like I felt like he was kind of fanboying out.
Him and Ant-Man were both fanboying, but it was like, oh, I'm sorry. Ant-Man's like kept apologizing for everything he's doing.
But like him and, the thing with him and Falcon.
Yeah.
The thing with him and Bucky.
Yeah.
The whole thing with him and Cap, which, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, you know, we kind of talked about the way they parted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cap didn't pull punches.
No.
And Spidey, you know, Spidey didn't pull punches either. But, you know, I'll say this. The horrible thing that happened to War Machine.
Yeah.
I hope they're done with Rhodey.
I don't think so.
I mean, like, the way it ended.
Well, he'll be in the Avengers movies because he is an Avenger.
But the whole way that happened, I'm glad it happened that way.
Yeah.
And then what happened to him is cool because they can do it without kind of ending a character completely. Right. But at the end of the day, Don Cheadle's performance in this was probably, if I had to say, what didn't you like about it? It was all War Machine.
Really?
Like,
even though he didn't have much in it.
You know, he was the, I don't know, man. Like, so in Iron Man 2, he questioned Tony constantly. In Iron Man 1, like, you know, even a different actor, Rhodey questioned Tony constantly. Right. In this one, he just blindly followed.
Well,
you know,
I think it was the soldier part thing with the soldier, where but it's like, you know,
Cap is the soldier as well, and Rhodey is one who, like,
but Cap, Cap was never a soldier.
Well,
Cap was never.
I guess
he had been trained to fight, and he had been trained to do all that stuff. But as soon as he was infused with that serum, he just became himself in a soldier's body.
Personified.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally Steve Rogers was never a soldier.
Okay. No, I get it. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
I mean, and that's the thing is, like, Rhodey had gone through the training. Rhodey serves the military. At this point, Rhodey's retired from the military.
Because even in Iron Man 3, he questions Tony.
Yeah.
He doesn't question, like, the president.
But they're friends.
That kind of stuff. And they are. But, like, I don't know. He just kind of,
I mean,
I understand why he picked Tony's side.
If you
want to
look at it from a certain point of view, him and Tony are the flip side of Bucky and Cap in this movie because, you know, Cap and Bucky are friends and, you know, they're sticking together and Rhodey is sticking with his friend. And
for
I think
first
the whole idea,
seems, you know,
well, so, I think the whole time he was, though.
Okay.
Because otherwise he could have outed Tony at any point in Iron Man 1.
Sure.
And it's that whole idea that, you know, him seeing as much action as he's seen in the military and knowing that innocents do get hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Thunderbolt says, where's Thor? Where's Hulk? You know, if I lost two nuclear missiles, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, at that point, Rhodey's like, the realization is that, we're more powerful than an average army.
I just didn't necessarily like the performance. I guess that's part of it. Like, he came across as real whiny. To me. And again, that's just me. So I do feel like he was overshadowed by the other actors on screen.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say for Don Cheadle, because he's an amazing actor. So anyway.
You had to tape that down.
I know, well, I keep hitting my corner.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, but yeah, so then the whole Ant-Man thing at the airport was awesome, and like Lego kind of spoiled it.
They did, but it doesn't look. I mean, it's a Lego figure.
It is,
and when you see that giant thing in person, it's like, okay,
but sold. His whole thing where he's like, "I'm gonna try something."
Yeah,
I've only tried it once, and I passed out.
The best part is when he says, "If it rips me apart, just leave me alone.
Just keep going."
Yeah.
So, that was awesome. And then just the whole, like, just thing of it. It was man, that is so cool.
Yeah, the whole fight is like, you know, I mean, that fight is the publicized fight, and, you know, it's out there.
I felt like it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it was the whole thing where they've evacuated. They made sure that nobody was around.
The airport
and, it was pretty much
like,
just...
And it wasn't like lip service, like in Batman v Superman. It's like, oh, well, it's night. Everybody's at home.
The alarms started going off, and it's like, you know, evacuate the airport. And it wasn't the fact that...
When they were in their little clown car, that started happening.
Yeah.
Which, and, that was a hilarious scene.
And they didn't evacuate because Cap was there. They evacuated because Iron Man showed up, and it was like, oh, shit, something's going to happen.
Stuff's going to go down.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. All right. So then the final battle between Tony.
I don't think we should even say anything.
I'm just going to say this. What you see in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
As much as we loved the fight choreography there.
Yeah.
At the airport. This was just another level. And like, I don't know how much Robert Downey Jr. was in like the Iron Man costume or stunt person.
I do think it's just was CG, the CG Iron Man costume.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
You think it was
probably,
like the mocap?
That was probably
like
him
buttons.
With the.
It's heartbreaking.
Either him or a stuntman, but I mean, it was still.
The entire fight, the entire time you're watching this, and you're like, these are people who genuinely care about each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. I mean, like, Tony might not care about Cap the way Cap does about Tony.
Right.
But, like, there's a, like, Cap has a genuine respect and a genuine affection. And, you know, Tony learning, and this isn't a spoiler because we all already knew this.
What? That,
about the Starks.
We knew the Starks were dead.
And we knew the Winter Soldier. That wasn't a spoiler. That was in the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, if you pause the screen and read a newspaper article. Yeah. I mean, they don't acknowledge that he did it.
Okay.
I mean, it's just one of those things
where...
That's
a spoiler. It doesn't ruin things, but...
Yeah.
You know, but when Tony finds out.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Well, I mean, the way that the Russo shot it
throughout
the movie, you just see the car
getting... I love the intercut. Well, I knew right away.
Well, like, you knew what was going on, but the thing about it is the way they reveal it to the audience makes it even more like heart-wrenching because it's like, oh my God.
And then how it happens.
Yeah.
So, and all I gotta say is like bare hands.
Yeah.
Like not metal hands, bare hands. No, it was, that last fight was great.
Yeah.
So then I love the inclusion of the raft.
Yep.
Although I was disappointed there weren't, other
well, like I told you, I would have liked to seen the Abomination.
Yeah, Abomination should have really been in there.
I mean, there's not many, like, you know, villains that they've captured.
Well, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. had some, like the S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra.
Right, but
like, hybrid
S.H.I.E.L.D.
thing,
S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Black Ops group that nobody acknowledges exists anymore.
Anyway.
So that's how they get away with the stuff they get away
true.
With. Yeah.
But I do look forward to the raft getting more.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Tenants, inhabitants.
Sure.
But yeah, so Thunderbolt Ross was good.
Yeah.
You had hypothesized that there was going to be
I was hoping for a Thunderbolt scene. Yeah. I could see that in Infinity War.
I can see that coming out of Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I could see like him putting together a
maybe
team
for part
Infinity
two
and,
or whatever.
You know, yeah.
So that's the other thing is they've announced it's not going to be called Infinity Wars Part 1 and Part 2.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be Avengers whatever and then Avengers whatever. So
okay.
That should be
fair enough.
Pretty cool. But they're going to bring everyone
I'm sure it'll
together.
Be Infinity Gauntlet and then Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. So... Should you stick by your five shields?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when people ask me, you know, especially at work and that, when people ask me and it's like, oh, yeah, definitely go see this. And I mean, some people went last night after I told them that, you know, yeah, it's really good.
Like, I wore my Cap shirt yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I did not wear to the movie, but I wore yesterday just to show my allegiance. So, I was Team Cap going in. I'm Team Cap coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You same?
Yeah.
All right. So that's it.
Team Secret Avengers.
I'm Team Secret Wars, but I did have my buddy Chris online was he posted how he was Team Cap or Team Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then I posted I'm Team Cap and I said, "Hey Chris, just leaving this here for you." And yeah. He's like, "Well, if I could do Team Spider-Man, I'd be Team Spider-Man." It's like, "Yeah, you could, but that's cheating."
That's a whole different movie altogether.
All right.
That'll be the Spider-Verse movie. And Brian's head just melted.
Literally, my brain just melted. That would be, oh, God, Spider-Noir on the big screen would be great.
Yeah.
Kane. I need a Kane Parker movie. All right. Okay, so if you guys like listening to us with our witty-esque banter, there's a link on our website to our Amazon store. And if you shop at Amazon, come to our site and then click on that. And that actually helps us out to get some production costs and
Civil
things
War
like that.
Or go buy.
Well, yeah. And actually, if you.
Art of Captain America
Civil
War.
If you click on it, it takes you to like a comic book specific thing. So it would be great if you guys could support that from InfusPodcast.com. You can find us at InfusPodcast.com. We're InfusPodcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Johnny is online at.
Twitter and Instagram are Johnny Potteroff.
And I'm Twitter and Instagram, Brian Tudor. But yeah, so thank you guys for listening to this. Definitely go see it. Definitely email us, contact@infamouspodcast.com or in this post on Facebook. Leave us your comments on what you thought. Did you love it? Did you hate it? For me, it's my favorite Marvel movie.
If you hated it, it's okay to be wrong.
And it is. It's okay to hate this, you know. So what's going to be really interesting coming out of this, and this is my last point, is for the people who are like, well, Marvel paid people to do this, to do the bad reviews for Batman v Superman.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I don't.
Marvel didn't have to do anything.
I didn't get involved in any of that.
And I didn't either, but they knew what they had in their back pocket. And like, you know, this was the river card.
Yeah.
And in Texas Hold'em. And they just pushed all their chips in and then sat back because knew.
I mean, it was the whole thing where, you know, it was just the talk and the talk like a flash.
Yeah.
And that stuff like, you know, that we did on the most recent episode. You see a train wreck happening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, when the rail's sticking up, you know what you know the train's going to wreck.
Right.
And, you know, Marvel's just like, yeah, yeah. So.
Anyway. All right, guys. Go see Civil War. Let us know your Team Cap, Team Iron Man. And we will see you. Tuesday is our interview with Christian Colbert.
Yep.
Don't miss that. Go back and listen to our interview with Jay Torres. And then don't miss our regular episode on Friday we're going to talk about the new Han Solo.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, spoilers. Anyway, have a great day, night, week, weekend, whatever, whenever you're listening to this. And enjoy.